Our next speaker will be Dr. Mahmoud El-Tamer. Dr. El-Tamer is a professor of surgery at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and he'll be talking to us about some glandular displacement techniques.
Good afternoon. What I'm basically talking about is ways to repair the defect after you have performed a lumpectomy. And I have no disclosure. And what I'm going to be talking about today is a little bit about preoperative planning. I'll go very quickly over it. The skin incisions, how to raise skin flaps, how to mobilize the breast tissue, and techniques to close the defect. In the preoperative evaluation, you already heard it from my prior colleague, the tumor size, location, extent, breast size, symmetry, ptosis, the tumor to breast ratio, and the percent of the volume of the breast tissue that you need to resect. And you need to be evaluating and cognizant the proximity of the tumor to the nipple areola complex or to the skin, and whether you have to resect part of that skin or nipple areola complex. And clearly, as my colleague said, you need to know the comorbidities and set the expectation clearly. As far as skin incisions, it's very important to try to do what we call the hidden skin incision. We prefer to do a circumareolar, inframammary, or axillary incision. However, until you build your practice and you know how to raise flap, you may want to go back and do the regular incision which you have been doing, but I strongly encourage you to start using these incisions. If you want to use your regular incision, center your incision over the tumor. In the upper quadrant, we like to put it along the Kressel's line. In the lower quadrant, you could use a Kressel line incision. However, if you're planning to excise skin, it is better to use a radial incision. And at 3 or 9 o'clock, I personally prefer to do a lateral incision, particularly if I'm planning to excise skin. Now, why do we like avoid transverse incision in the lower quadrant if we're excising skin? If you look at here, if you excise that skin and you close the defect, you pull the nipple up, which most of the patient would be very happy with that. If you do the same on the lower quadrant, you're going to pull the nipple down and the patient's going to be very unhappy with you. However, if you do a radial incision and you excise the skin, you don't mobilize the nipple areola complex and you keep it in the same position. Let me talk quickly about the skin flaps. We all know the superficial facial plane. It's a well-established plane. We call it the mastectomy plane. However, when I raise my flap in order to do an oncoplastic procedure, I usually follow the glandular plane. Some people call the glandular plane as the anterior mammary fascia. This is not really a true term. There's no fascia there. Very few people talk about it. But I, for the simplicity, I call it the lumpectomy plane. And in order to explain to you what the lumpectomy plane, you go back to Sir Astley Cooper, and you could see how the breast is formed and all of these Cooper's ligament. And this is an MRI, and you could see the Cooper's ligament here. So we transect those Cooper ligament, and we raise the flap along those lines. And to give you an example, if you have a tumor is very superficial to the skin, then you need to keep some of that subcutaneous tissue over the tumor. So you start raising your flap at the mastectomy level, or you take the overlying skin if you think it's very close, and then you go into that glandular plane. However, if the tumor is deep, you immediately start by raising it at the glandular level. And this is an example. This is a patient that has a central tumor. You raise the flap along those lines, you resect the tumor, and you really did not jeopardize the oncologic aspect of the operation. So once you expose over the tumor, and for the sake of demonstration, I made this exposure over the tumor. However, most of the time we raise these flap in the circumareolar incision. You raise the flaps, then you do the resection of the tumor. And if you have done a full thickness resection, which very frequently it is the case, then you raise the glandular tissue off the chest wall, off the muscle. And you try to be very cognizant of the blood supply. Once you have complete raising the muscle and you start closing the defect, you look at the flap, skin flaps, sometimes they get tense and you need to release them a little bit more. And you continue that release along the glandular plane. Now, in order to simplify how I can teach those repair of defect, I categorize them into five categories. The first category is the transverse displacement, radial repair, triangular closure, purse string suture, and then mobilization of the surrounding tissue. And I'm going to go over each one. We'll give you some clinical example. The transverse closure, basically, I give you an example. This is a woman, presents with microcalcification. You need to excise this area, probably 15 to 20% of the breast. You excise the tumor, then you raise the tissue and you close it, and you close that defect in a transverse fashion. Now, this is the example how the patient looked like. You could see there's a little bit of elevation of the nipple areola complex, but she has a perfect cosmetic result. Unfortunately, she has a very hyperpigmentation from the boost dose. And you have to take pictures of these patients when they elevate their arm, because by closing that defect, you prevent the adherence of the overlying skin to the underlying muscle, and even when they raise their arm, they have a perfect cosmetic result. In the upper inner quadrant, you also can do a very nice closure through a transverse technique. I usually do the incision in the circumareolar area, but I'll show you a case where we did the incision over the tumor. This is a patient presents with a palpable mass in the upper inner quadrant. You want to excise probably 15% of the breast volume. This is the specimen, measures 5 by 4 by 3 centimeter. We got negative margin, and this is how she looks like. You have a perfect cosmetic result. Now, if I had done that incision in the circumareolar area, I would have even gotten a better cosmetic result. So I would strongly encourage that you do these circumareolar incision. This is when she lifts up her arm. Now, this is her mammogram preoperatively. This is the area that I wanted to excise, and this is her mammogram postoperatively. I want you to pay the attention that there is no significant scarring at the site of the lumpectomy, because we didn't leave the cavity open. There's not a lot of reaction from that seroma that forms, so you can follow up the recurrence of the tumor better in this scenario. Let me move to the radial closure. That can be applied in any quadrant. However, it's the technique that I prefer in the lower quadrants of the breast, because you do not mobilize the nipple areola complex. I show you the incision in a radial incision. However, you could do that incision in a circumareolar fashion, and you close the defect in a radial fashion. This is the nipple. This is the inframammary line. You lose that line, which is the, you use that line to close the defect. This is an example of a patient. She's 49. She has a palpable mass. She already had a breast reduction, so I cannot do a lot of surgery with her because she already had her breast reduction. Now, and she didn't have any ptosis, and I wanted to excise a large area of her breast because she had a mass with microcalcification. This is when we use bracketing technique. This is the time where we are using the wires. Currently, we use the seeds, and you see the amount of tissue, the specimen 8 by 6 by 4 centimeter, and this is how she looks like. She has a very good shape of the breast. Unfortunately, she has a little bit of a reaction to the radiation therapy. Now, in the lower inner quadrant, I invariably use a radial closure, particularly when you're planning to excise the skin. Now, if you want to have an example like this patient. She has a 2.5 centimeter tumor, very close to the skin. I have to excise the overlying skin on top of it. This is, you see her in the operating room after we excised the specimen and started to repair the defect. And this is, you see her immediately post-op. You're going to see in the post-operative period a little bit of flattening of the breast below. That's perfectly okay. Thank God for gravity. If you wait 6 months, this is when you see her post-op after radiation therapy. There's a really loss of that flattening. She's got started to regain the shape. And now when you see her 2 years later, you can barely tell that she has any surgical intervention. Now, we move to the third part, which is the triangular repair. The triangular repair is a combination of the transverse and the radial repair, and I use that repair to avoid significant mobilization of the nipple areola complex. So let's say you have a patient, this is the nipple areola complex here, and this is the defect. If you bring this to that side, you're gonna elevate that nipple all the way up. That may not be a good thing for a patient who doesn't have any ptosis. And you may not have enough tissue to close it radially. So you place a triangular suture, and when you close that triangular suture, you end up with what we call the Mercedes sign, and you close the rest of the defect along those lines. Let me show you how I control the elevation of the defect. This is the nipple, and this is the defect. If you want to elevate it that much, so you put your triangular suture along those lines and you control your elevation. If you want to elevate it a little bit less, you place your suture in a different place and you get less elevation of the nipple areola complex. An example of that case, this is a 41-year-old lady, very minimal doses, 2.5 centimeter. I wanted to excise 15 to 20% of the breast, and this is how she looks like 3 years postoperatively. Minimal elevation of the nipple areola. She has a very good cosmetic result. And the key point to remember, this is her mammogram preoperatively, and this is her mammogram postoperatively. I used to use non-absorbable suture, and these non-absorbable suture tend to calcify. Nowadays, I use 3-0 Vicryl. Still with 3-0 Vicryl, you may get some calcification, but you have to make your mammographer aware that sometimes there are suture calcification, and they have to differentiate them from the recurrence. Now, let me talk about purse string suture, which is ideal for central lesion. If you have a tumor in the center of the breast, you incise around the nipple areola complex, you raise the skin and resect the tumor, you raise the nipple areola in this area, and then you close the defect with a purse string suture. As one of my fellows said, it's exactly like when you're dunking the appendix. And this is how I designed it. When you dunk the appendix into the cecum, you put that purse string suture. And this is how we close these defects. An example of that, 48-year-old lady, 2.5 centimeter, needed an excision of approximately 20% of her breast. This is how she looks like after the lumpectomy, 6-month mammogram. Please remember that we put nowadays all the time clips to mark the cavity for a radiation oncologist. And this is how she looks like postoperatively. She has a very good cosmetic result. However, clearly the right breast is smaller than the left. And you could see the beauty of the circumareolar incision. They have a perfect cosmetic result. You cannot even tell that she was operated on. Now, mobilization of the surrounding tissue. You have to do this when you have some surrounding tissue that you could mobilize. And ideally is the axillary fat and in some patient in the inframammary line. So, what you do, you create your defect after you resect the tumor, you raise the flap and pull that flap into the cavity in order to fill that cavity. An example to that, this is a 68-year-old lady with multiple comorbidities. She had breast cancer on the right side. She was on aromatase inhibitor and developed breast cancer on the left side. We couldn't do a mastectomy because she was really with a lot of comorbidities. We wanted to do a quick operation, a lumpectomy, and close the defect as quickly as we can. But you see, she has to have a large resection. And this is when we resected the specimen, approximately 10 by 5 by 5 centimeter. And what I did here, I closed the defect without mobilizing the tissue. And you could see how she would look like if we did not repair the tissue. Now, you notice that she has a large amount of subcutaneous fat here, which is the axillary fat. And when we raise it and we close the fit, we pull it, she has a perfect cosmetic result. And this is how she looks like 2 weeks postoperatively. Unfortunately, the patient died. I couldn't have to have 2 years follow-up because she had so many comorbidities. Now, in summary, plan your incision and resection preoperatively. Raise the skin flap based on the depth of the cancer or how close is the cancer to your skin and nipple areola complex. Use your best oncologic procedure. Please remember, this is an oncoplastic operation. Your main aim of the operation is the best cancer operation, and then you will close the defect the best way you can. Elevate the glandular tissue off the fascia, but please be cognizant to maintain the vascularity of the skin and the breast tissue, because you don't want to end up with fat necrosis. And close the defect the best way you can, and I've given you different techniques. And I will finish with a picture. This is the sunrise in Florida, not the sunset. Thank you very much.